Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, February 18th. We have a great show for you today. We have a special guest waiting in the wings, and we're going to get to him in just a second. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. How are you, Jen?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Sam?
Good. I'm doing very well as well.
Great.
So it's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I got some encouragement this morning. I guess this one of our hosts here, there's a show that comes up at 11 right after us. It's called Save the not Save the Oceans, but God, I forgot now. Something like Save the Oceans. But so the guy that one of the people that hosts it is an activist. They're all activists, mm-hmm. For animal rights and things like that. So he's like, he tries to protect the oceans. You know, he's got like boats and people and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know? So they talk about this. Now this guy, you know, I mean, he's got totally white hair, white beard, and everything like this. So he's got to be at least around my age, maybe a little older, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing on Facebook that he married this woman she looks half his age, you know. So I don't know if it takes money or looks or whatever, but it is possible. So I get some encouragement from that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say, you know?
Is that what you're looking for, though? Someone half your age?
No, but someone younger, you know.
Why is that?
Because it's going to make me feel younger, I think.
Okay.
And I find him to be generally more attractive. You know, I mean, we were talking about this, you know.
Yes.
And you might think I'm shallow, whatever, but that's the way I feel, you know. I mean, as far as, like, at least physical attraction, I have a problem with women my age. I don't know. But at any rate, I guess because I'm still young, I'm looking from a young boy's eyes. But the funny thing was when I was younger, when you're a kid, you want to be with older women, you know. So they'll teach you things and stuff,
right.
You know. But then you grow older and, you know, and the thing is you ask me why. I don't know. We have to ask many men why, because many men feel the same way.
Right. Well, it is that question. I mean, girlfriends and I talk about it all the time. We're all, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and we're frustrated because of whom we have as our dating pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, guys in our age range, let's just say like 30s to like late 30s, want maybe somebody younger. And then even older
at that age too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because, I mean, in your 30s, you know, 30-year-old women in their 30s look great, I think. You know, I think it's a very good age. But I think I can see where women in the 30s feel the pressure to get married, have a family. And, I mean, if they want one, you know, I'm not saying that. But if they want one, their clock is running.
Right.
You know.
Well, I've noticed also that, you know, men also take a little bit longer to mature.
I guess, and but by the 30s, you'd think they're pretty mature.
No, they're not.
No?
They're not. Nope. Not until like, well, what did our guests say the other day about the Great Love Debate? That they mature basically after 35.
Really? Is that what he said?
And I don't even remember. At that point is when they decide they want to get serious. So, but until then, they're dating these like much younger women who don't want anything serious.
Right.
And that's why they're seeing younger women, because there's a lot less expected of them.
Right. That's what they're saying. Oh, you know, at the debate, he was saying something like that too. Pardon me. But he was asking men and women how many years apart would they date? Mm-hmm. And he was saying the reason that many men are attracted to younger women is not because they're more attractive, but because they're easier to please. They don't have as many expectations.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it seems to make sense. You know, I mean, a girl comes out of college, she just wants somebody who can pay for dinner or something, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so And that's good enough for them, you know. But then as you get older, I mean, your expectations get a lot higher. And I guess men feel it's harder to please the women at that point, you know. I mean, that's not my feeling. That's not my sentiment at all. I didn't see that until he said it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it's just the fact that, you know, this society values youth and... You know, the youth is being spent is wasted on the young. That's what they say, right? Because you can enjoy it a lot more when you're older and you're not as stupid.
That's true. Yeah. However, we are living longer, so we can be younger for longer as well. My mom tried to set me up with some guy. She sent me a picture of him the other day, and I asked how old he is, and she said 47. I said, "Can I remind you, I'm 30?"
Like, she forgot.
No, huh? I mean, I was just like kind of confused. I get like she's a Jewish mom and she wants to set me up with somebody and like that's her mission in life, even though, you know, it's not mine. But that's like her one mission left in life. And so I was like, you know, while I appreciate you doing that and trying to, you know, support my life, what will I have in common with this person?
Yeah, it's not what you'll have in common so much, Jen. I think it's just that when you grow older, they're going to be really old, you know. And
well, but for right now, I'm 30. Am I going to talk to this man about the music I like or the movies that I see or what my friends that are my age are doing?
You see, that's the thing. When you're at 30, you think that, you know, 47-year-olds are very old, but I mean.
I don't, but when we go back to our memories of the 70s and I wasn't alive then, that's a little troubling.
No.
When he's like, "Do you know this song?" No, I don't even have a clue who you're talking about. No. Sorry.
Yeah, but but you need to know what happened before you.
100%. But we have a lot different, like one is a history lesson and one is life lessons. So I don't know that we would relate on that level. Like, also maybe what we want to do with our time is different and how we enjoy, you know, how we like to enjoy ourselves or like what we do for fun. That might be different. I was like, let me just stop before I get ahead. I could go on a date with this guy, but then why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Different if he was
You have a big pool of younger guys. I
agree. It's not even that. It's like, I don't want to waste his time.
Right.
And I don't want to waste mine just to go out for one night.
Right.
But I mean, I'm sure he could find somebody like maybe even 10 years younger than him, not 17.
Right.
And I could find somebody 10 years older than me. Like, I feel like that's kind of my bracket.
Right. Yeah, and that's what they were asking at the show. So when he asked 10 years, there's still a lot of hands going up, you know.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I would go as far as 12 years because I have. But I don't know that I could do 17 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference. You know, your objectives in life, your priorities are different.
Right.
You know, I mean, at that age, he's probably got kids, you know, he's done with family and everything, and you're just starting.
Right.
You know, so I can see that, you know, but it doesn't stop the attraction, you know, that people have. So, you know, I mean, you know, what are you going to say? We're going to get to, I guess, in just a couple of minutes. I just wanted to bring up this story. Did you hear about this Las Vegas road rage incidents? What happened was, I guess this woman...
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. They didn't say it. They just wrote now that it was in Las Vegas.
Mm.
But his wife... I guess a man says his wife was killed after a road rage incident in Vegas. And it's a little complicated, you know. I mean, the thing is that, you know, she's a mother of four. And so she went back home after she got into this dispute with this driver and got her daughter and got her son. And he's, the son is 22.
Mm-hmm.
So she had him bring a gun and they went back looking for that other driver.
Right.
They couldn't find him. They went back home.
No, they did find him.
No, he found them.
No, it said that they exchanged, they saw each other.
Right.
And then nothing happened, and then she drove home.
Oh, okay. So they saw each other first, and then he followed her or something, probably?
Yeah.
Okay. And then shot her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're looking for him and stuff. But, I mean, I think she went the extra mile to have herself killed. You know, I mean, you don't do this shit. You don't go home and bring a gun and go looking for that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, the thing is, she was scared originally because he sped up in front of her and was like screaming at her and scared her and her daughter that were in the car.
Right.
Great. So that happens. You get his license plate. You report him. There's a lot of things you can do that don't be the hero.
Right. Exactly. I mean, people have guns.
Right. Yeah. And you don't know how crazy the other person is going to be.
Right.
And what are you going to do? What are you and your son going to go kill a guy for yelling right. at you?
Yeah, and that's the thing. She had time to think about it, too. Right. You know, it's not like it's just an instinct to pull out your gun and kill somebody, you know?
Right, she went home.
She went home and she planned this.
Right.
And this is crazy, you know?
So crazy.
Yeah. So I'm not saying she deserved to die, but I mean, when you do stuff like this, you know, there are consequences. You know, you don't do this.
She could have also got her son killed. How would she have felt if she purposely went out and did this, and then her son got shot instead of her?
Right.
And then, because of her choices, he would have died.
Right, and she'd have to live with it.
Right. I mean, the story is very sad.
I know.
And no way was this going to be, you know, a happy ending.
No, not at all. But here in L.A., there's a lot of opportunities for road rage because we're, like, so stressed out by the traffic.
I get flipped off at least daily.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I never understand it. I'm like, when did that become the universal symbol for, like, car anger? Right. Like, you would just be like, no, like, wave and be like, no, or, like, stop or anything. But it's literally the bird every time.
Right.
People feel most comfortable doing it because then they drive away.
Right. Exactly. And they feel they got it out of their system or something, you know. But the thing is that they don't accomplish anything with this.
No, that's why when people do it, I kind of laugh. I'm like, you're just mad at your dad or, like, whoever upset you
exactly.
as a child.
Exactly. Or you need to get laid or something.
Right. But, like, I'm just in my car minding my own business. Calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's get just where you're driving. Going and stop.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, you know, it's just driving, and people don't realize that, and they take out their frustration on other drivers.
Right.
And the funny thing is, if someone cuts in front of you, for example, and you honk to them, they'll flip you off because it's like, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, you know.
Right.
So the perpetrator is the one that gets mad in the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why are you mad at me?
I usually, like, try and make it, like, a funny story. Like, if somebody flips me off, I'm like, I'm sorry, you have to poop. Like, I'll drive faster for you. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, maybe save yourself, like, leave earlier.
Right.
If you're worried about, like, getting somewhere on time.
Exactly. That's what I say. You know, I mean, people always have the excuses of being late in this town. And my sentiment is, I've lived here many years, and I've never been late to anything. And I don't even use GPS or anything to tell me when I'm going to get there. Simply because, like you said, I leave earlier. I give myself a little more time.
Right.
Because you know there's going to be traffic.
Right. And also parking. You can't guarantee parking anywhere you go
right.
here. So you have to save time for finding parking and the whole thing.
Right. But, you know, many people don't even pay attention to that. And they're chronically late, and they don't learn from
it. I have friends that are late for everything, and it's like I don't even want to make plans with them anymore.
Yeah. Huh?
I think it's the rudest thing to make somebody wait for you.
It is. It's very rude.
It's like, is my time not valuable?
Right.
I want to just sit here and stare.
Yeah. You know, and at the radio station, sometimes you'll have guests coming in late. I mean, the show's going to be about you, you know? You want to make it, I mean, if I was invited to a radio station, I would want to make sure I get there in plenty of time.
Right.
Right?
I would too. I'd want to get comfortable. I'd want to get settled. I'd want to see where I was going to be. And
yeah, and they just run in, you know?
Also, it's just showing respect.
Yeah.
Really?
I really think so. And I think mainly it's respect for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, to learn to respect yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and people don't know that, so they don't respect other people.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Yep.
Okay, well, we're going to get to our guest now. Let me just bring up his page so I don't screw up. We have Jonathan Holliday in the studio. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sam. Hi.
Absolutely.
Hi.
Nice to have you. Jonathan is a new host with us. You've done two shows so far, right?
Yes.
And your show is The Ambassadors of Change, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. That's quite a tall order.
What a cool concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a tall order, but really, we all are really just ordinary people, and in some capacity, in some way, we're doing something that really is making an impact.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's good to think that way, right?
My opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. No, that's why I started the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that some people feel they don't need to do anything and things just will happen to them, but it doesn't happen that way.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about how the show is structured. What do you talk about?
Sure.
Things like that.
Well, The Ambassadors of Change was a vision of mine for the last few years. And, you know, I really started to look at how I was living my life, and certainly I started looking at how people who inspire me, And I started looking at other people, and then I realized that it's not really so much about people on the CNN or the book covers or even the political arenas. It's just people like ourselves.
Right.
In some way that we're making a difference. And I really was, you know, I was looking at myself and I said I really wanted to start recognizing ordinary people who were making an impact on a daily basis.
Right.
And I really wanted to find an avenue for that.
Right.
And so over the next couple of years, I started thinking about whether I was going to do seminars about this or even put in productions and so forth. And then really it came out from my getting my master's in spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica. And we have a project that we have to do to graduate. And originally I was going to learn ballet, which was more of a creative thing because I always wanted to learn ballet.
Wow.
And that didn't happen. And then through the world of communication and ideas, I came upon LA Talk Radio.
Oh, cool.
And my career, I've had the opportunity to be in front of a lot of people from as an auctioneer, right. And I left that industry in October, and I wanted to get behind the microphone and develop a show and start speaking again, and here we are.
Amazing. It's yeah. nice to take your ideas and make them real, you know. And you're absolutely right about people, you know, because, I mean, even the people that accomplish a lot publicly that we admire and stuff, there are people just like us, you know. I mean, sometimes if you feel somebody's bigger than you, picture them on the toilet in the morning, you know. And that'll remind you who everybody is, you know. We're all the same. And I think the difference is, look, some people are born with more luck, true. But for the most part, I think it's up to us to actually, you know, make a difference, make things happen for us. And then when you make things happen for you, then you can make things happen for other people, mm-hmm. you know, because you become more giving. You have more abundance, I think.
Absolutely.
You
know?
But this is amazing. So they actually have a program in spiritual psychology.
They do. Yeah. Wow. It's one of the only programs in the country. It was started by Ron and Mary Holnick, who are licensed therapists, and they've been practicing for over 30 years. They're an amazing couple. They've been married for over 30 years, and they started the program, and 250 people per year in all age groups from ages 18 to 70 dive into the spiritual realm and learn about psychology. It's a very intense program, but also really, really opens one's up in a beautiful way.
Yeah,
and I'm 18 amazing. Months into the program.
Wow.
And so it's been quite a learning opportunity for me in many, many different ways. And it's really hard to explain, interestingly enough. The other day we were in class and we have these events that go on to learn about the school, and someone said, well, how do I talk about spiritual psychology? And the key is just to be yourself. Mm. Just to show people how you live your life, and then they can decide for themselves if they like the direction that I may be heading or somebody else is heading. And the people in the program are really fascinating. And I've been fortunate enough to have people on the show already who are really stepping into some really amazing things. It really, really is exciting. You can imagine people changing their careers, starting new projects for themselves, creating families that they never had. Right. Even at the age of 46, people start families.
Yeah,
yes, they do. And they're mature as well, Jen.
What?
Yeah, imagine that.
Who would have thought?
And they're fun. I might even know some of the movies you go to and like.
What?
Yeah, imagine that. And even some of the songs.
And the music, too.
And the music. Yes, yes.
So, now, have you always been spiritual?
I think I have.
Really?
I think it all really started when I was probably at about 12 or 13, you know, and I had the opportunity, being culturally Jewish, I always had the opportunity to study Judaism, but within that, I used to ask questions to the rabbis and so forth about God and the meaning of life and the purpose. And as I started to get more of those answers and discover what that meant for myself. As over the years, it's really changed for me as far as how I view my own spiritual life. But then I've had the opportunity to study Buddhism, Self-Realization Fellowship, which is obviously started by Paramahansa Yogananda, and now spiritual psychology. And even through the practice of meditation, I think spirituality is really a sacred place within oneself.
Right. It's a very personal thing.
It is. Yeah. Very personal. Absolutely.
Jen, are you pretty spiritual?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like in what way? Do you have like a connection with God and things like that?
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep. I have a strong belief that there's someone watching out for me all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't think it quite works that way. You know, I don't think God really has, he probably has plenty of time, right? But I don't think the question of creation was to... you know, whether you believe or in what you believe or anything, it's about you know, coming here for a journey, you know, and doing things, and you know, I mean, we always try to explain why are we here, you know, why do we exist even, you know, and I think it's about free choice, you know, I think it's not about someone looking after you, I think it's about cause and effect, you know, like for example, there's always consequences. Whatever direction you decide to take, there's consequences. So you have to decide. So like now, for example, you might say, oh, there's no free choice, you know, but for example, if you stick your hand in the socket, you're going to get electrocuted, right? The thing is, you have a choice whether to stick that finger in the inside or not, and that's your freedom of choice. But once you do, there's a built-in consequence, so you have to think about that, you know.
And also, you can choose how you feel once you do it.
Right. That's how I feel about it. That, like, you know how there are people that are, they use the word fair and unfair all the time.
Right.
I don't use those words.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's how you look at it.
Yeah. No, that's true, because then you're comparing yourself to other people and you making yourself look like a victim.
Right. And also, what are you doing in your life? Right. Like, maybe you're causing your unfair surroundings, and maybe you just need to be less negative.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Jen is tough, man. She'll tell it to you right the way it is.
But that's, you know? the reality is what she's speaking is very true. There is really no, there's no good or bad. It's really how we choose to take on those conditions that may have come forth within the cause and effect.
Right.
What you're speaking more towards is obviously in the Buddhist principles about cause and effect, and really what happens when any action or any word that we take, there's going to be a result.
Right.
But then the choices, which we can have from God, is the free will. And right. you may disagree, but the free will is our choosing.
Right.
What we decide to do with.
No, I don't disagree. Yeah. That's the point I was trying to make, actually.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, because we determine, you know, and that's the thing. And the key to happiness, I think, and people say this over and over, is not what happens to you, but how you react to it and how you view it in relation to your life, you know. And I think spiritual people, or at least religious people, they have answers, you know. They'll say, oh, well, this is God's will, you know, so I'll go along with that. But, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to deal with things, you know. But for somebody to say, my life is terrible because I have all these circumstances happening to me and stuff, you know.
That hurts to hear.
Yeah, because like, shit happens to everybody,
like,
you know.
Like, even the phrase, like, I feel the energy and it's just like...
Yeah, I know, sucking the energy out of the room.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's interesting when you talk about that. And part of the premise of the Ambassadors of Change is... all of us have really challenging circumstances, and we also have triumphs.
Right.
And the basis of that is not to get stuck in those challenges and to move through those. And,
right.
And then really to live beyond oneself.
Yeah. And so that's very hard to do.
It is hard.
You know?
And even with the triumphs, though, not to like commend yourself forever. Like, you did it. That's great. Now move on to the next thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
You can't be too proud either.
So you mean if you win an Oscar, forget about it after a year?
No, you can
or two,
enjoy
right?
it, and then you move on to the next thing.
To the next Oscar, right?
Because then you're in your ego.
That's true.
And sounds like someone's getting a zone. Master's in spiritual psychology.
I want to.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, should I go?
Oh, she
look
would
that
be,
up?
Jen, you would absolutely love the program.
Right.
Yes, you would.
How long is it?
It's 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 2 years.
Is it very expensive?
No. It's not. It's affordable.
Oh. Yeah, it's a community
people from
college.
All walks of life and all levels of income take the program.
Hmm.
Yes.
I might look into this.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This might be interesting. Psychology is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I've learned a great deal.
Did you really?
I have. I've learned more about myself and also how to, and the shifts that I have had in the last couple of years have been traumatic. And not only traumatic, but also have been full of triumphs as well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, that's real cool.
It got me to do a radio show.
Yeah.
Literally got to do a radio show, which I've always been interested, whether it's doing theater or acting. My career was somewhat similar to that, but yet I was very fortunate to be able to step beyond myself and to start this radio show, which I'm really proud of. And I'm honored to actually have it on LA Talk Radio. You have a fantastic, fantastic organization, and it's made it so easy for me, your staff, and even to be here. It's
well,
really
good.
A blessing. It really is a blessing.
Awesome.
I'm very fortunate.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, it makes me feel good because you want to know you make a difference in people's lives.
Yes.
You know, and I never set out to do that, but then suddenly it just happened, you know. And people always tell me the show is the highlight of my week. You know, I look forward to it. And we have new shows and people are proud to be with us. And that's a great thing, you know. I mean, you realize, hey, I made a mark, you know. I made something. I may not be like Einstein or something, but I made a mark, you know.
Yeah.
It's more than just flipping hamburgers and stuff, you know.
You are an ambassador of change, Sam.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's it.
Okay,
you are.
Then I'm going to have to come on your show then.
I want to have you on my show. It would be an honor to have you on the show. Yeah.
And everybody invites me on their shows here, and it's amazing. It's a lot of fun, you know. So that's cool. So a little bit about you, Jonathan. Were you born here in LA?
I was. I was literally born, I lived a few blocks from here.
Really?
I was born in Los Angeles, uh-huh. And then my parents lived in Van Nuys, so
really?
Blocks away. And, and then most of my life I spent on the west side.
Yeah.
And graduated from Loyola Marymount. And
wow, what did you graduate in?
I got my undergrad in communications, and I studied television,
wow.
Which was really nice. And then I moved into the business world and got my master's at Pepperdine University.
Really? Uh-huh. So you like school.
I love school.
I love school too. I'd love to go for a graduate degree, you know? I really would. So you went to Pepperdine. That's a cool university.
Yeah, I went into their evening executive program to study business.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to go to. Man, that's expensive, huh?
Yeah, every month I'm still paying.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still paying off the loan. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's an experience that was worth it for you.
It was. I mean, I think it really made it definitely made a difference in my business career. I mean, I started out my career in retail management, and then that really helped me a lot. And then ultimately, by very fortunate circumstances, I got into the auction industry.
Wow. How did that happen?
Well, you want the long story or the short story? I'll make it as fast as I can.
The medium one.
So I was working for Robinson's May. You may not have remembered that.
I know the name.
You know the name.
Yeah.
So that was my first job out of college, and I was doing training and development. And on the weekends, I taught tennis because I was a college tennis player to make some extra money. I was only making about $30,000 at the time.
Right.
And I was teaching at a beautiful home. And lo and behold, the owner of the house, which he was a young guy in his early 40s, he was a very successful auctioneer, and he sold off assets for corporations and small businesses, and we became very friendly. And for a couple of years, he really wanted me to come work for him and run his organization. And lo and behold, I was opening up a new store for Robinson's May in Las Vegas, and him and his wife were getting off. I was going home, uh-huh. And he was getting off the plane for a gambling junket.
Really?
And he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He saw me in my suit, and he's like, "Please come to my auction." I went to his auction that week in North Hollywood, not too far from here,
uh-huh.
And he got off the auction block and he offered me $10,000 more.
Wow.
I called my dad on the phone and I quit my job and got into the auction industry, finished my master's and started off running his company and selling everything you can imagine. And I did that for over 25 years.
Wow, very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So now So were you an auctioneer yourself? Or,
yeah.
So were you doing the fast talking?
25 now, 50 now, 75 now, 100 now, 125 now, 150 now, 175.
Whoa. I love that. You know, sometimes on Storage Wars, I like to see that.
Yes.
The guy talks so fast there. That's cool.
Yeah, I've been able to do benefit auctions and work with celebrities and raise millions of dollars for charities as well. And
really?
It's been,
so you see, there's your contributions to the world, to humanity, you know?
I like to say I try and make a difference every day in some way.
Yeah, very yeah. cool. So you went to Pepperdine, and now you're going for this spiritual psychology.
Yep.
That's cool. So, and, you know, some people just prefer to stay in school their whole life so they don't have to deal with real life. But but you're not that case. I mean, you're like, you're living a full life and you're going to school.
Yeah, and the master's program at Santa Monica is really experiential. They don't really, we have classroom settings and the work we do is not all lecture based. Mm. And the key really ingredient is to take the things that we're learning and apply them to our lives.
Right.
I mean, not to sit in a classroom. I think that's really why this, I think this experience is so valuable. And they're trying to even integrate some of this into universities as well, because just going to a classroom setting, even at a younger age, I found really wasn't the true benefit, because the world is complex.
Yeah.
And we've got to experience those things. So yeah, I like to apply learning and take it out in the real world.
Sounds good. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a sister named Nancy.
Yeah.
She's a year older than me. She has 5 amazing children.
Wow.
With her husband, Aron. They're Orthodox.
Really?
And they are.
Oh, that's why they have a lot of kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, 5 is a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They don't use birth control.
It's like, well,
I'm just kidding. So. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I don't think that they do that, especially when they first get married.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but, you know, in some cultures, I mean, every time they have sex, they have to have a baby, too. You know?
Yes, they have a full house, and yeah. They live in Clifton, New Jersey.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you guys close?
I would say we're pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And your parents, are they still alive?
My mom lives in Chatsworth.
Really?
And my dad and stepmom live in the Venice area.
Oh, wow. So they're still here, too.
They're still here.
So you got the family around you, which is very cool.
Small. I have a small family here. And,
right.
And
but it's a support system, right?
Yeah. It's family's very meaningful. It's yeah. very, it's what it's all about.
Very cool. So I what was I going to ask you? Oh, so you grew up here in L.A., here in Van Nuys. Is that where you went to school?
Well, I grew up in Van Nuys for about 12 years,
uh-huh.
And then I moved out to Chatsworth.
Oh, I see. Okay. I lived in Chatsworth, too.
Yeah, it's a pretty place.
Yeah,
I do my taxes there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the end of the world, but
I don't actually know where it is. To me, it's just the place where I do taxes. So, like, I think they built a city around my tax place, so I know its place.
Right.
Like, it's almost like the Truman Show.
Right. But it's so far from you. I mean,
I have no idea, actually,
but
where.
You
really
haven't done once, right?
Ask me to point it out on a map or to tell you where it was in proximity to where I am. I have no idea.
You just followed your GPS.
There are mountains and rocks.
That's right.
Rocks. Yeah. But it's they used to film a lot of Westerns
there. It looks like it. I'm telling you, it looks like a set. When we drive off the exit to go do taxes, I'm like...
Uh-huh.
When I moved there, there was no 118 freeway.
Yeah?
Yeah, wow. There was no 118 freeway. There was orange groves. And there's still horses, but yeah, it's really become much more industrialized. But many of the Westerns were shot there.
Yeah.
It is very pretty, but that's why I thought it was a set.
Right.
Because the exit you get off, it looks like Big Thunder Mountain from Disney.
Yeah. But people don't live like among the rocks. Although I had, you know how you come down Topanga from the freeway?
Mm-hmm.
Right behind the hills there, they built a community of townhomes. And when I got married the first time, I bought a home there, and it was amazing to live there, you know, because you have nature right outside of you, you know, out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fun walking your dog and everything and just taking hikes. So there's a lot. And then Chatsworth, I mean, most of it is just like a town, like any, you know, like any other in the valley, like here, you know. So, but it is far. But I figure you go there once a year, not a big deal, right?
No, and I love going there.
It's pretty. Yeah.
Well, because I like my accountant. Yeah. My accountant's the best man ever.
Wow.
And I go with my best friend, and we do our taxes.
So you'd go as far as he is, you go there to, right. to get your taxes done.
I would drive.
That's loyalty.
Forever.
Yeah.
To get to him. He's the best accountant in town.
Really?
Or obviously, she's getting refunds.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm in search of an accountant. Maybe,
well, I will
maybe it's no coincidence we talked about it. Yeah, refer me to him.
He's the best, and he does entertainment.
Really? Wow. Okay, yeah, because I need one. I need one badly. So going back to these topics, have you traveled?
I've traveled all over the country.
Really?
I've been to pretty much two-thirds of the states working.
Really?
Or personally.
Oh, yeah, with the auctions, right? A lot of travel.
All over the country.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to drive some to and just see some beautiful places. And because a lot of times the auctions will be not close to airports, so I've had the opportunity to go through the backwoods of the South and the Midwest. And
Very cool.
Yeah, it's been very cool. You can imagine to see this beautiful country in a different way and to experience the people. And it's been really, I've been very fortunate. I learned so much from being with different types of people in all different types of places. Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Are there some places you haven't been to yet that you'd like to go?
In the States?
Yeah.
I've never been to North Dakota or South Dakota, although I don't know what would get me there.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure it's beautiful. It's quite cold in those places.
Is that where Fargo is? Fargo?
No, Fargo's Minnesota, I think.
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. No, South Dakota is where the... Mount Rushmore is, right? Is that in South Dakota?
Oh, that's cool. You got to go there to see that.
So there's
haven't been there.
To go see.
Yeah. So those would be probably some places.
What about Hawaii? Have you been to Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm going to Hawaii next week.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Gonna
that's
going to be going to a yoga festival. And, yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yes, Wonderlust Yoga Festival. It's my third. It's a great organization.
I love yoga.
Music, yoga, at a great, they pick great locations.
It's obviously.
Turtle Bay in the North Shore.
This sounds like heaven.
It is heaven. Yeah. And I get to do yoga, which I really enjoy. So, I need a little vacation.
Yeah.
A little break.
You look like you need to go there for
I do. I need to go to Hawaii and I need to do yoga.
Yoga in Hawaii.
Yeah. This all sounds amazing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So I'll be doing my show from Hawaii.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be nice. How long are you going for? A week or so?
I'm going for 5 days.
5 days. Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. It is. It's one of my favorite places to go to.
I know. Me too. You know, because if I have to go to a tropical place, forget about the places outside the country. I don't want to deal with the bureaucracy of these third world countries, you know? I'd rather go to, I mean, look, the Caribbean is okay and stuff, but... You know, all those Tahiti and Bora Bora and all that. Yeah, they look nice, you know, but I don't know. If I want a tropical place, I go to Hawaii. I still get a flavor of the U.S., all the convenience. Because I'm a five-star hotel traveler, you know.
I'm not.
I'll take what I can get.
Me too. I'll do the best I can. Although the hotel we're staying at, it's beautiful. The people of Hawaii are fantastic.
Yeah.
They are just, they're fun, they're friendly. And when you get to Hawaii, there's just something really magical about being on those islands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really feel that way. So you going to, what, to Oahu?
I'm going to go to Oahu, to the North Shore.
Okay.
And stay at Turtle Bay. And the festival's there at the hotel premises. And I think about 5,000 people will be participating in the yoga and the music. They have world-class musicians coming in, and some of the top yoga instructors from all over the country will be there as
well. Sounds like the most peaceful thing ever.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I know. You're going to walk there. Everybody's asleep.
or just like very zen and like... Yeah. Floating.
I know.
That's what
it sounds like fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you been to yoga for many years?
I've been doing yoga since. That was really part of my spiritual process as well. As I started doing yoga around 24, I had a neighbor who is an incredible yoga instructor, and she invited me to a yoga class, and I had no idea what yoga was, and after that class, it really was an opportunity for me to start the practice. And doing yoga has probably opened me up in a lot of different ways that I never had anticipated.
So really?
Yes, yeah, so it's a really cleansing, cathartic, and also yoga was started well over 1,000 years ago. And so the yogis really were onto something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody speaks very highly of it.
I love it.
Have you done yoga, Sam?
No, I haven't. I mean, I did it like at a gym for a few times. But nothing like spiritual or anything like that. You know?
Well, so yoga doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But once you get on the mat, you'll be surprised when you do these poses and move through the sequences that your body just starts to open up. And it's really blissful.
Wow.
It is. What I have always said about yoga, for me at least, is that it makes me comfortable with being uncomfortable. And now I also have more patience for things. So all those angry drivers out there should do some yoga, because you hold a pose for so long, and like some classes are 90 minutes. And it's like, if I can get through that, I can get through anything else.
Yeah.
That's right. And Sam, since you want to meet
90 minutes is a long time.
It is.
Right?
Well, there's classes that are an hour. And since you want to meet a younger woman,
you should go to yoga.
You should definitely go to yoga.
Go to yoga.
Well,
right?
not to say that women who are in different age groups, but that sounds like you have a purpose there.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going there to be picked up or anything, you know. They just want to be left alone.
Not necessarily.
I would
say each other.
Yeah, I mean, so I go to a yoga class, which is like predominantly women and gay men. So if there were straight men in the class, I would already know that they like something I like.
Right.
They do yoga, and they are some sort of spiritual human, and have like a higher power, or at least some. I don't know, but they want to be better in their lives.
Right.
So they already like check off a couple things on my list.
Right.
If they're in a yoga class.
Right. So are you going to do something and take a step towards that, or are you just going to wait for them to come to you?
I said they were gay.
Oh, so,
not all of them, Jen.
No. The ones in my particular class. In my particular class, I know they are.
She was just explaining why there's
yes.
no sexual tension there. Yeah.
Or maybe there is.
Well, at least not toward me, but in my class, it's mostly women and a couple gay guys. Yeah. The teacher is like, I would love one day where it's like 50-50, where it's like, and then people could fall in love in my class and everyone would just come together through
everybody
yoga.
More
happy.
Men are doing yoga, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But it's a slow process because interestingly enough, yoga was started by, I mean, most of it was men who were practicing yoga, and it changed.
Yeah.
It has changed definitely, and especially in our society.
Yeah, in our society, I think in the LA culture, you know.
I would like to be a yoga instructor.
We have a very interesting yoga culture here mm-hmm. in LA, you know. So why don't you do it if you want to be an instructor?
Costs a lot.
Really? What, to learn?
Yeah, you have to go through like a whole course.
And I did that. I started.
You did?
I did. I went through Core Power Yoga's training program. I stopped about a couple months into it, but it was really, really, really great. It's not as expensive as you think it is, Jen.
Well, I need to look into all these things.
Yeah, you
I need
do.
To go to spiritual psychology, and
right.
I need to become a yoga instructor.
Right.
Then I'll just walk around like this.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
right. With your mantra.
Yeah. Sometimes I find myself in like regular life, just being like.
That's the way to live.
People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, I forgot I was out loud.
People do funny things, man. So I see you have a sponsor, Heal the Planet,
yes.
right? Do you want to talk about that?
I would love
moment?
To. So,
yeah.
Excuse me, Heal the Planet was founded by Ken Fisher, and Ken is actually in my master's program as well. Ken has been very successful in the world of real estate for many, many years. He has a company called Monopoly Holdings
wow.
in Florida,
uh-huh.
and he started Heal the Planet. He actually had the idea for Heal the Planet about 15 or 20 years ago as a young man, and then several years ago he decided really he had the opportunity to he could afford to start putting money towards education and selling sustainable products. And so Heal the Planet has two facets to it. They sell sustainable products on their online marketplace, and also they are using their profits to provide education throughout the schools in Florida.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And so Heal the Planet, they've sponsored our show. Ken is just a truly, truly amazing man. He's going to be on the show, I think, in May. And I'm very fortunate that he has stepped in to sponsor our shows. And it's really nice to know that people are seeing not only the message I'm putting out, but I want to support organizations that also have a positive impact or in what they're doing.
Right. Are you an activist at all as far as environment? Things like
I mean,
that?
I lived in Portland, Oregon. For several years, I 3 years ago, I lived in Portland. I just moved back here a year ago, and I learned more about the environment and to live much more from a sustainability standpoint.
Right.
I wouldn't consider myself an activist. I don't really stand behind quote-unquote causes because
right.
I think there's sometimes a danger in becoming really too much into one cause. I recycle. I like taking care of the environment. I take five-minute showers when I can,
yeah.
and I clean up trash all the time wherever I see it, and trying not to drive too much as well.
Right.
And so, and certainly I'm doing much as I can to take care of our environment.
That's cool. So you're conscious of it.
Very conscious.
Wow.
I believe it's very important. And,
yeah.
and it only takes a little to make a difference.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
They should teach that in school.
Yeah.
They should teach more like practical things in school, I think. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. There was no chance I was ever going to use algebra. Ever. And we have calculators, guys. Like, we have to, like, you know, adjust with technology. But more importantly, like, spiritual psychology, that would have been a great class.
Right.
And also, it probably makes people nicer starting younger. You yeah. know, like, more conscious of other people and, like, surroundings right. and the environment.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. You need a lot of... I think they do teach about the environment in school now, you know.
It's changing.
I'm just thinking that... They better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know that they are, but I'm saying that they should.
I took an environmental science class, and it was more science than, like, helping the environment.
Yeah.
And the science part lost me. But the environment, I love it.
Yeah. That's true.
I wanted
yeah.
to, you know, survive so people can continue living.
Yeah. So you're not that into sitting in class and stuff like that, right? Do you get like...
No,
restless?
I am when it's something I can use.
Yeah.
When it was things that... I mean, I took zoology.
Yeah.
I think I got a D the first time. And I don't get Ds in things.
Well.
So it was just so foreign to me. I was like, I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
But I had to take it.
Yeah.
I got an A in psychology. I'll tell you that.
Very nice.
AP psychology.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So things like that where I'm interested in it and I can apply it to my own life, that I definitely want to learn.
Right. That's how it works. You know, that's why a graduate program
right.
is so great, you know, because then you really choose what you want. You know, you don't have to...
it just takes so long to get there. You have to get through high school, then through college, and then finally.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, you get to learn the things you want to learn.
If I were to do it differently, I would have gotten my master's in spiritual psychology much earlier.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
Before my even business program.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it would have made more of a significant impact on my life as well. I'm glad I'm taking it now, but
right.
I see the true benefits of really some of the things that Jen is talking about here as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So you left the auctioning.
I left the auctioning on October 1st. My company laid off 100 employees. And I was with that organization for 8 years.
Oh.
And I was really done with being in that industry. It became very corporate, and I was managing a division. I didn't have to call auctions. It was all online.
Right.
And I've taken some time off now to just complete my master's program and start the radio show and to see really what's next. I mean,
very
I'm really
cool.
excited. I'm really excited about what the Ambassadors of Change, I hope that it will develop or get legs under it and to see if I can, you know, create much more of a movement behind it as well.
Right. And so how do you sustain yourself? Did you save up a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Good for
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
Good
yeah,
for
I mean,
you.
I've got some, it's, I don't have millions of dollars behind me, but I don't really need that much.
Right.
I mean, certainly I'm still single, and certainly when I have a family, that will change. But, you know, my company gave me a decent severance package.
Nice.
Not great, but yeah, I'll be okay.
Very cool.
More than okay.
So you're able to devote your life now to studying and the next step in your life.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that degree? Are you going to become a psychologist, a therapist or something?
I mean, many people can, but that they don't have the accreditations to do that. There's even
okay.
therapists in the program. No, I don't have a desire to become a therapist, although I would probably think it would be interesting for me to step into that world.
Right.
The degree doesn't necessarily you know, make it like you can get a better job or anything like that, but I'm using the degree right now. That's the beautiful thing about the program.
Right.
I'm starting a radio show.
It's a practical thing that
absolutely.
Helps you with your life.
Yes.
You're not doing it so much for the document, for the certification.
It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I don't know what the paper will do ultimately for me. My MBA helped in some way.
Right.
I mean, I got a business from a business standpoint, but business came very natural for me as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're multi-talented.
We're all multi-talented like you and Jen. I got left and right here. It's really interesting to be on the show. I haven't interviewed on... I was once on the online radio station probably about 15 years ago from a very... an auction I was doing there. I was selling art, a very unique project I was doing. So I haven't been interviewed in a long time.
Well, there you are. You see, you have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You're in the radio world now.
Yes.
So, Jonathan Holliday, tell people how they can find you if they want to contact you, if they want to be on the show, or just contact
you. Yeah, they can. I don't have a website up. I've been holding off on that, but they can go, they can email me at jonathanholliday@outlook.com. And you spell holiday just like we're having a happy holiday. And
what a fun name.
Yeah, what a great name.
Thank you. And it is my name, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a story behind how my dad changed his name, but it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love my name.
Yeah. Wow, and you're golden, so Golden Holiday. That would be, you see, what a great mood to be in the morning.
Yeah.
Golden Holiday. Although, unfortunately, I'm a little bit old. I'm not in that 40. I'm 46. And so I passed her limit.
Right.
Unfortunately. But, you know, what can I tell you?
That's a stretch for her.
Yes, I wouldn't want it. But, you know, sometimes life, we have to stretch ourselves.
Yeah, there you go. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you
us.
For having
You're
me.
A lot of fun. Everybody go to, your show is what time? What
it's
day
from
again?
6 to 7 on Thursdays.
Thursdays at 6 right here on LA Talk Radio. The show is The Ambassadors of Change. Jonathan Holliday, don't miss it. And thank you all for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Jen. See everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.